Morning, friends. Thank you. Let's go ahead and start by asking for God's help as we look to the book of Philippians. We thank you, God, for just how good you are, and we agree with what that song says, to you all the glory, and it's all about you, Jesus. And so we pray that as we come to your word and as your spirit works through it, we ask that you would help us to come to that place where we, in our hearts and our minds, are filled with your praise and have lives that are all about you. And we need your help in that desperately. And so we ask that you would accomplish it and that you would do it for your glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Philippians, our new series, is written by key early church leader named Paul to the church in Philippi. And in last Sunday's message, we saw when Paul came to Philippi and he courageously sacrificed to plant the Philippian church, enduring beating, jailing, and so on. And by God's grace, a diverse set of people were set free in Jesus. And for the next decade, then, Paul and the Philippians enjoyed a great relationship together. They continued to connect with each other relationally and pray for each other. And though the Philippian church is poor, they begged Paul for the privilege of helping the Jerusalem church when it was struggling financially and hitting hard times. And the Philippians also generously supports Paul in his missions endeavors as he's planting churches in other cities throughout the Roman Empire. And, you know, Paul typically wouldn't personally accept money from the churches he planted, but in the case of the Philippians, he would, because it was a special relationship. But now Paul is in prison again for sharing Jesus. And in Roman prison, there is no cafeteria. And so if somebody from the outside doesn't bring you food, then you go hungry. And so the Philippians, they step up again and they send Epaphroditus to Paul. And Epaphroditus brings food and supplies and prayers and encouragements on behalf of the Philippian church. And while there, Epaphroditus also shares that the Philippian church is starting to struggle a bit. There's persecution and false teaching, and these stresses from the outside are contributing to difficult relationships then inside the church. And so Epaphroditus is probably asking Paul questions like, Paul, how do we live the good news of Jesus when life is so full of bad news? And Paul, what do we do about these false teachers promising us better lives if we follow their ways instead of Jesus? And people are hostile now towards our church, Paul. What do we do when they're attacking, opposing? And what do we do about our stressed, dividing relationships inside the church? And with these questions, Epaphroditus has come to the right place. Paul has faced all these issues before and is currently in prison, chained to a guard 24/7, wondering if he is soon to lose his life for his faith. And so Paul, from jail, writes the Philippians a letter. And in that letter, he encourages them, and in life and in all of its struggles, it's all about Jesus. You know, that's a message still extremely relevant for us today. And so I'm thankful that we are getting to go through the book of Philippians together. And I encourage you to read Philippians every week of this sermon series. And if reading isn't your thing, then listen to Philippians on your phone using the YouVersion Bible app. So please, however you do it, don't let all your reading during the week be about the bad news currently going on in our world. Please read Philippians as well. It's only 4 pages in my Bible, but it has much encouragement and perspective and equipping for our current challenges, as well as just for living powerful, godly lives. And so if you've got a Bible or Bible app with you now, you can go ahead and open to Philippians, if you haven't already, to chapter 1. And if not, no worries, we'll have the verses on the screen. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers you see are chapter numbers, and the little numbers are verse numbers. And to start here, at the beginning of the letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to keep making the relationships about Jesus. You know, for the Philippians and for us, we're going to need relationships about Jesus to endure in hard times and to experience God's best. But good church relationships are not guaranteed. If you've been in church for some time, I bet you've experienced some pain or struggle in relationship along the way, like the Philippians do at the time of Paul's letter. But when churches make their relationships about Jesus, there is great potential to be blessed and to be a blessing of others to others, and to get through hard times spiritually stronger rather than weaker. And so Paul starts by reminding the Philippians of the great job they've previously done in these Jesus relationships, and he encourages them to keep growing in them. And so let's see this morning what relationships about Jesus look like and be encouraged, like the Philippians, to take hold of their full potential together. And so we'll start with the greeting in verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hear Paul, along with his co-laborer Timothy, they greet the Philippian church. And as verse 2 shows, this greeting is not only from them, but also from God, which is kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. And so in church, even our greetings to each other are important since they're about Jesus. And as we move from the greeting to the letter's introduction, we're going to see this morning three things that relationships about Jesus share. And the first of those things is shared mission, starting in verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So here in verses 3 and 4, Paul shares about how he thanks God for the Philippians every time he thinks of them, and he's praying for them joyfully. And then in verse 5, Paul begins to describe why this is the case. It's because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So about 10 years before the letter, that's when Paul came to Philippi to share the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to rescue us from the brokenness of our worlds, our lives, and relationships. Jesus inaugurating a new kingdom by dying for our sins and rising from the dead. And so for any who don't yet know Jesus, we're so thankful you're here and want you to know this morning there's plenty of room in God's kingdom. You can trust that Jesus lived a perfect life in your place, on your behalf, and that he wants to see you join his kingdom, that he wants to see it badly enough that he died for your sins on the cross and then rose from the dead so that you could join him in his kingdom of love. And as we saw last Sunday, people in Philippi did join Paul in putting their faith in Lord Jesus. And now for the past 10 years, they've been partnering with Paul in the gospel. These Philippians and Paul sharing in this mission together, this Jesus mission, to work for his kingdom until he returns and brings its fullness. The Philippians, so then they're loving their neighbors and they're sharing with their neighbors about how they can join in Jesus' kingdom of love. And the Philippians are also partnering with Paul through prayer and encouragement and finances to help people all over the Roman Empire to join Jesus' kingdom of love. And the advancement of the gospel is a theme that actually goes through all of Philippians 1. We see it here. We see it through Paul's circumstances in verses 12 to 18, through Paul's future deliverance in verses 19 to 26, and through how the Philippians are to conduct themselves in verses 27 to 30. And this advancing of the gospel, the shared mission, is not only shared between Paul and the Philippians. Because Jesus is at work, Paul is confident that the spreading of the good news is going to continue. Because it's not, again, a partnership between just the two, but a partnership between Jesus, Paul, and the Philippians. And so Paul talks about this in verse 6. There he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So not only do Paul and the Philippians share a rich relationship around this incredible mission, but because of Jesus' work, even as opposition comes, even as they fail along the way, Jesus will continue to work. Jesus advancing his kingdom until the day Christ returns. So our shared mission's ultimate success is assured because of Jesus' faithfulness, not ours. So we thank God for that and for the privilege we have here at Northwest to share in Jesus' mission together. You know, globally, through our partnerships that our missions committee and our church support in prayer and with encouragement and finances. You know, just our church here in San Antonio, through just us, God allows us to share in the LEARS ministry, training Christian leaders around the world in interpersonal skills. And we share in the Miller's work in Sweden, helping young people to join Jesus' kingdom and grow as his disciples. And we also get to share in the Sneasby's work, getting God's word translated into additional languages. And we share in the work of a ministry that is planting new churches in India right now. And we share in the Miller's work, starting an Arabic language church among refugees in Madrid, Spain. And we share in the Collar's work with Crossway, who have seen thousands, many thousands, come to Christ over the years of our partnership together. And there's a building for a Crossway orphanage in Sagana, Kenya, that would not exist if not for our church. And we also share in the Voice of the Martyrs ministry, helping persecuted Christians with assistance and with resources as they continue to bravely share Jesus' love in hard places. And so Jesus letting us share in his mission on a global scale, all from here in San Antonio, and all to his praise. And, of course, we also get to share in Jesus' mission locally, too, helping high school and college students to take next steps with Jesus through the Jacobsons and Youth for Christ, and through the McElroys and the Gerards with Destino. And here at Northwest itself, in both English and Spanish, helping people to join Jesus' kingdom and grow as his disciples, you know, through worship services and ministry to children and youth and young adults, and through adult small groups and men's and women's ministries and counseling, and through outreaches like our church's food pantry and benevolence giving and recent donations to the Salvation Army Emergency Shelter and a Bible study at the Memory Care Center across the street, and English as a second language, and citizenship classes, and you helping keep ministry going in administrative roles and financial web roles as deacons, as elders, and also through our recent Kingdom Investments Initiative, where we have set aside funding, and small teams from our church are starting to plan and pray about how we can share the love of Jesus with the Bristol apartment complex behind us. They're planning together for ministry to children after school and helping adults to learn biblical financial principles. And just this very week, we've started providing prayer supports and finances to purchase Bibles for Bible school students and also purchase food for orphans in Malawi. In the words of our church's friend, Pastor Roderick Barnes, that's coming together for a lot of Jesus-based shenanigans. And all of it, we want Jesus to be praised. Now, you know, sadly, not everyone wants to see Jesus' kingdom of love extended. There is opposition. And for Paul, his labor for Jesus has not only included great blessings, but also great challenges, including his current imprisonment. And so relationships can, in serving of Jesus, can be challenging. But imagine the blessing it was for Paul the day that Epaphroditus showed up with food and supplies and encouragement and prayers from the Philippian church. And so I've seen and personally experienced so many of us here helping each other in times of need, whether that's bringing meals or financial assistance or prayers or visits or encouraging words in times of need. And so relationships about Jesus we see here are not only about our vital shared mission, but also about shared affection for each other. And Paul describes the deep affection he has for the Philippians in verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul and the Philippians have shared Jesus' mission together. As verse 7 describes, it's the Philippians supporting Paul when in prison and when out sharing the gospel. And through their shared prayer and finances and encouragements, Paul's affection for the Philippians has grown deep. People tend to think of Paul as a fiery, determined sort of church planner, but here we see Paul's tender side. As he says about the Philippians in verse 7, I have you in my heart. As he reflects on what they share in Jesus and how they've mutually encouraged and supported each other. And so Paul says in verse 8 that he longs for all of the Philippians. He so desires the day when they can be face to face again. And Paul doesn't just kind of long for them or long for the coolest ones among them only. No, it says that he longs in verse 8 for all of them with the very affection of Christ Jesus. And so we see here that the great potential for relationships about Jesus to share deep affection, the love and support we all long for in Christ Jesus. And these kind of relationships of affection require consistency and commitment. And so I'm so thankful for how our church family goes about this and gets that relationships about Jesus consistently share in mission and affection. And also in one more thing we see in our passage, which is prayer. Paul, having just shared about his affection of Jesus for the Philippians, now prays for Jesus to help the Philippians to abound in love as well in verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And these verses show us that relationships about Jesus have shared prayer. Paul is contending for the Philippian spiritual growth here in prayer, asking God to give them a love that abounds. And this love is a discerning love with knowledge and depth of insight, as verse 9 says. And then verse 10 shows why Paul prays this prayer. His purpose is so that the Philippians can discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And in verse 11, Paul then shares how the Philippians can be empowered with this discerning love that helps them to know what to do and as well as what is right. And it is as they are filled with righteousness, there in verse 11, that comes through Jesus. And so this discerning love requires Jesus working through the Philippians. And so Paul asks for in prayer for Jesus to bring about what only he can bring about. And Paul is not praying for Jesus here, for the Philippians here, only because he's stuck in jail and he can't go minister to them in person right now. It's not like it's a second best thing. But because Paul knows that relationships about Jesus require Jesus' work to happen. And so he prays. And this week I read an article about a British missionary named James Frazier, whose story is told in the biography Mountain Rain. In the early 1900s, as a young man, Fraser left a promising career in engineering to go share the love of Jesus among the Lisu tribe at the foothills of the Himalayas. And there, as he's ministering one winter, the snowstorms were so bad that Fraser was unable to visit and minister to the Lisu who lived up the mountain for the entire winter. And so he was stressed about how these new followers of Jesus would do without his support. He was fearful that they would return to the demon worship that they once participated in. And so normally, Fraser in his ministry, he would spend a couple of days traveling up the mountain, and then he'd minister in a village for an entire day, and then travel a few more days and repeat that process. But that winter, he tried a prayer experiment instead. For the villages up the mountain that he couldn't reach, the days he would normally spend traveling to them and praying for them, or and ministering to them, he instead spent focusing on praying for them. And for the villages at the lower elevation that he could still visit, he just kept his normal routine of going among them and sharing the gospel and holding worship services and so on. And at winter's end, his prayer experiment over, Fraser then traveled up the mountain and discovered that the Christians he was unable to be with, but disproportionately prayed for, had grown far more in their relationship with Jesus over that winter than the ones in the lower area he'd been ministering to in person. And the article even goes on to say that many missions experts think that a key factor in the enormous spread of Christianity in China over the past 50 years, one of the sparks of that was the revival that started among the Highlanders of the Lisu over multiple winters as James Fraser stayed home and prayed. And so our ability to gather overall as a church is currently limited. And in this season, may we be sure to gather before God in prayer for each other, contending for each other's spiritual growth. When it comes to relationships about Jesus, prayer is not an afterthought. It is essential, both in our current limitations and once those limitations are past. Now, this morning we've seen that relationships about Jesus have shared mission, affection, and prayer. The Philippians needed these kind of relationships both for the struggles ahead and, in the words of verse 10, to be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. You see, the stakes were high for the Philippians, and they are for us. Everyone is in desperate need of the forgiveness and perfect love and healed hearts and healed relationships and victory over death and perfect rule that only Jesus can provide. And for those of us who already know Jesus, we need more of him in our lives and want to be found pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And so our church's next step this morning is to do something today that encourages relationships about Jesus in our church. It's a wonderful opportunity we have. We need it to grow ourselves, to live our mission, and to be found pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And I promise doing something today, before the day is over, to share in Jesus' mission, affection, prayer, it's going to do your soul good, and it's going to do our church relationships good. And to get you thinking about what you could do today to encourage relationships about Jesus, I'll share a couple of examples from our church family during COVID-19. Like Sunday school teachers helping kids to take next steps with Jesus through Zoom Bible story meetings, and through mailing biblical activities to kids, and through even delivering a scripturally themed scavenger hunt to some kids in our church. And parents teaching their kids to study the Bible this summer. And small groups continuing to gather for encouragement, prayer, and Bible study online or outside. And a new Bible study starting with neighbors. And our worship and tech team continuing to lead us in praising God. And the many calls and emails and texts and handwritten notes checking in on each other and praying for each other. And all these things, men's and women's ministries also, adding extra summer studies to make sure we continue to be encouraged spiritually in this challenging season. And kind words and warm greetings shared at Shirley Jones's memorial this week. A woman who is about relationships about Jesus. And also donating to our church food pantry to bless people in Jesus' name. And I've heard of people making deliveries of food to neighbors in need. And bringing meals to people having babies or surgery. And even delivering home-baked bread just because. And you freely giving of your finances, not holding back. You know, every church is facing challenges in this season, but we do not have here a financial challenge on top of all the other challenges because of your grace-based giving. And so we are positioned to take advantage of ministry opportunities today and in the future because of you not holding back. And also you coming together for small prayer gatherings and sewing cloth masks to share. And writing a chalk note on a driveway to welcome a new baby home. And the ESL team planning for the fall. Every single volunteer stepping up to say, yes, let's move the mission forward. If we need to learn Zoom to figure out how we can love people and teach English in Jesus' name, let's do it together. And so that's just a portion, but it's a lot of Jesus-centered shenanigans in a time of limitation. And so way to go. And let's keep that momentum up today. Every one of us doing something today to encourage relationships about Jesus. You know, I'd love to hear, we'd all love to hear how you've experienced that, things you're doing or plan to do today, or that you've experienced others doing in our church family. And so I invite you can email me, or if you want to put on the live stream Facebook post for the service today, you could type a comment in there, and then others could see what you've been doing or what you've experienced someone do to encourage in Jesus' name. And so let's pray now about our relationships about Jesus. And then after that, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together as we remember Jesus, the one who paid everything to make all of these relationships possible. So let's pray now. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminders from it. Pray you would help us all to read Philippians this week and that you would spark creativity today in how each one of us can encourage relationships about Jesus in our church, sharing in mission, affection, prayer. Who knows what you might delight to do today. Maybe you'll even put something on someone's heart that leads to a ministry moving forward beyond today. But we do want, Lord, to share in your mission. It is so important. We are so privileged to be a part of it with you. And we want to share in affection, your affection, Jesus, for each other, it flowing amongst your body, your bride. And we want to be faithful in prayer, contending for each other. And so I just ask, God, that you would, through your word today, through your Spirit's work, that you would help us to excel still more in these things as we also praise you for the work you've already accomplished in them. And we ask all these things, Jesus, in your good name. Amen.